As I said last week, we've been praying now for over 6 months about vision, identity and purpose for our church. You're quite used to me talking about those words now, aren't you? And of course, last week I introduced the purpose statement that your leaders on your PCC came up with after listening to you and hearing what you have heard from God. Serving the community of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship. We'll all be able to say that without thinking in a few months' time, won't we, as we repeat that to ourselves time and time again. Of course, the idea behind the purpose is that it's not just words, but actually that we live it out. That we aren't just here because we've always been here, but actually we're here to share God's love and friendship with Bedhampton. That we're not just here because we're a nice social group, although it's nice that we are social, but actually that we're here to share God's love and friendship with Bedhampton. So if our purpose is why we are here, then the vision is what we do about that, or perhaps more accurately, what we want to become and what we want to do moving forward. And your leadership team have broken down your input into four areas, as you can see on the banner and perhaps on the bookmark that you picked up last week. And this week, I want to talk about two of those areas. To be part of the whole community, building relationships and seeing God's kingdom come. To be a place where the community gathers for celebration and commemoration from birth to grave. They do split down quite nicely into a couple about community, and next week we'll talk about the other two as well. But this is what you have come up with. This is what we believe God is saying to us as a vision. To be part of the whole community, building relationship and seeing God's kingdom come. That's what's come out initially. And of course, last week we heard from one of you that we are called to be salt in the community, that we flavour the community that we're in out there by actually just being there and adding flavour to it. And then in our gospel, we heard Jesus says that in a different way, doesn't he? He says, do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. So we are God's people in Bedhampton. We should not hide ourselves under a bowl or in our church buildings. I think that is what is being said clearly. And did you notice the last part of the first part of the vision? It says, to see God's kingdom come. And of course, over the last year, you've got used to me saying that God's kingdom comes in the here and now, not just in some future heaven. And yes, Jesus talks about that, but actually, he talks predominantly about God's kingdom coming in the here and now. And if truth be told, my opinion is that all too often, historically, Christians have missold Jesus. We've sold him as some sort of insurance policy for heaven. But, you know, you can live your life the way you want. As long as you say this magic prayer at the end of it, then that's okay. But of course, there's truth in some of that because God is gracious and comes to us when we come to him. But actually, that's not the whole of what Jesus is talking about. Certainly not about how we live our lives. Some of us might have heard the old statement that there's pie in the sky when you die. Has anyone heard pie in the sky when you die? I actually wrote an essay on this, I think, at college. Anyway, I get all nervous when I talk about college. Pie in the sky when you die. It comes from a song from an activist from 1911, a chap called Joe Hill. And actually the phrase is a condemnation of people in church who sell some sort of insurance policy, but actually forget that the people they're saying it's going to be great in heaven, forget that the people that they are saying that to are actually hungry, are in desperate need right now. Pie in the sky when you die. I won't sing it, you'll be grateful to hear, but the song goes, long-haired preachers come out every night to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked how about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. You will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die. It's not the Jesus way, is it? It's not what we read in the Gospels. I mean, just picking a couple of parts of the Gospel almost at random, really. I mean, Luke says, when Jesus is asked by the Pharisees, when will we see the kingdom of God come? Jesus says in Luke, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that we can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. And we can read that on a couple of different levels. He was obviously also talking about himself at that point, being there. But actually he's saying also, God's kingdom comes in the here and now as we, as the people of God, go out. Jesus went into Galilee, we're reading in Mark here, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Again, talking about himself, obviously, but also talking about the fact that God's kingdom can be reached here. Yes, Jesus does talk about going to prepare a table for us with our Father, but actually, more often than not, his first proclamation is about God's kingdom coming in the here and now. And to bring God's kingdom to the here and now out there, we're going to need to bring it to the single mum. We're going to need to share God's love and friendship with that lady, that man, that who is working so many hours that they can't be with their family because they're worried about the rent or they're worried about the mortgage. We're going to need to be with the lonely, the smelly, the slightly awkward. These are God's people out there, the people that will turn us away. We're going to need to be with those sort of people if we're going to bring God's kingdom to the here and now, if we're going to share God's love and friendship. And as we go, we've got to act justly and loving and merciful. That's what we're called to be. That's why that verse that came out so often in our prayers over the last 6 months is on the back of your bookmark. And if you didn't get one of those bookmarks, I think there are still a few out on the table out there. So grab one of those. But you see, Jesus isn't pie in the sky when you die, is he? Jesus impacts the here and now. And that's why that first part of our vision is there. And then we reach this, to be a place where the community gathers for celebration and commemoration from birth to grave. Sometimes we bemoan the Church of England, those of us from this particular tradition. Sometimes I think we miss what God has done for us. You see, as a Church of England community, we are a trusted brand. Now, some of that is slipping away from us, but we are still a trusted brand. You see, they come to us, don't they, the people out there, they come to us for Easter, and they come to us for Christmas, and they come to us to say a thanksgiving and to baptize their children when they're celebrating new birth. And they come to us when they want to be married. They still do that. I had a lovely ceremony yesterday with John and Dawn, who are just good, honest people. And as I spoke of God's love to them, about how their love was a reflection of God's love, the Holy Spirit was upon them. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with that, but he was there as they come to celebrate. Indeed, many months of the year, we will have 100 or so people through our doors, both at St. Thomas and here, who wouldn't normally come through our door. There are brands out there that would kill for people just to come to them anyway. And yet we are given it as a free gift from God, from those who have gone before us. Of course, we can choose to moan and groan, can't we? We can say, well, they only come at Christmas. We don't see them for the rest of the year. They only come at Easter, or they come for the harvest, but we don't really see them the rest of the year. Or they come to dunk their baby, but we don't see them again. I think mostly we don't do that. Mostly, actually, we take an opportunity to share the love of God with these people when they do come. I think there's room for improvement for us in that area. You know, we could choose not to stay away that week when we know there's a baptism on or a thanksgiving on, and actually come and sow a few seeds with those that come. We could choose to make sure that when we have a joint service and there are others, like the scout group there, to come and meet together and sow a few more seeds, couldn't we? We are a trusted brand, and I think we need to take advantage of it as we share and celebrate from birth to grave with people. It's interesting, isn't it, that parable we heard. Jesus talks of someone sowing a few seeds. It's not so real to us, but when I spoke of this very passage in Ghana, it's real for them. They understand that when you sow seeds, some of it grows and some of it doesn't. You see, when they come for a baptism, we sow a few seeds. When they come for a Thanksgiving, we sow a few seeds. Some of it will fall on rocky ground or get burnt away by the sun when they go home and they say, actually, I had a good time at church. But then other people say things to them that aren't so helpful about church. So some of it will just burn away. Sometimes they might, as we sow a few seeds at Easter and Christmas, they might actually show an interest, maybe even come and do an alpha course as the seed springs up. But then it might be that the world takes over and tells them actually they're only worth something if they have a big house or a flash car, not just because they're loved anyway by God, not just because they are sons and daughters of God anyway. And so that might die away. But there will be times when we sow seeds, and we're beginning to already see this, and they come and they realise it's down to them to investigate, because they are intelligent people. And they investigate, and there will be times where they think, actually, I'm no different to these other people around me. They make mistakes, I make mistakes, but they investigate Jesus further. And there'll be times where they choose to become apprentices like you and I to Jesus. And the seeds will grow, and God will bless this place if we do what we've written down on paper. If this doesn't just stay on a pretty banner. I would rather this was scribbled up on a bit of A4 paper on the wall and we actually did it than in a nice flash banner and we left it in church all the time. Our job is just to actually sow the seed and then not get in the way of the Holy Spirit. It's down to them and God what happens. We're not responsible for the results. We're just responsible for our sharing our love. We're just responsible to act justly and love mercy, aren't we? And actually to live out what we think God has called us to be. So there you go. Half of the vision. To be part of the whole community, building relationship and seeing God's kingdom come. To be a place where the community gathers for celebration and commemoration from birth to grave. I think actually if we start living out these values and these vision statements, then we will be serving the community of Bedhampton and we will be sharing God's love and friendship. And my challenge to you this week is no different to my challenge to you last week. If you haven't picked up one, pick up a bookmark and just over your cup of tea at work or as you're walking the dog or whatever it is, just pray into that. God, what is my part of this vision? What is my part of this purpose? And then if God speaks to you, come and see me. Because if we do this together, we will serve the community of Bedhampton and we will share God's love and friendship and God will bless that. But it's down to us. And so I invite you to come.